also Pastor Brian. I don't know if he's here or not, but him and his family. Pastor Dan, appreciate you, brother. The elders' family and my church family. You know, I couldn't even hardly walk around. Most of you know that I had to sit down for a while. But God seemed fit to give me strength in my legs. And I just thank God. God is so good. God is so good. And so many of you prayed for me when my body just was not working. You know, sometimes it don't work, you know. I get to standing up there and I didn't even tell my wife this. I kept it to myself. I had a secret. But I would stand up there. I would stand and literally almost fall down. That's just how bad I was. But God. That's all I can say. But God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I believe we serve a healing God. And if you're here tonight and need a healing, we're going to call for the elders to come up and pray. I believe God can heal. Praise God. Tonight, I want to talk about the riches of his grace. My scripture text, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of sin, according to the riches of his grace. Ephesians 1 and 18. The eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that he may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of glory of his inheritance in the saints. My introduction is, people react differently to the subject of Calvary. Some are offended by its gruesome bloodiness. Some are saddened by the pain and emotion of the crucifixion. And still others are not affected at all. As Christians, we understand that Calvary purchased our salvation. But is there any connection between Calvary and life in the year of 2016? Calvary may have paid for our sins, but what it can do to help us live today. A look at Calvary reveals the majesty of God. Not only his majesty in the crucifixion, but also in our present lives. We have the freedom of forgiveness. Jesus Christ came into the human dimension to be a liberator, to emancipate us, to release us, to deliver us from the slavery of sin. Slavery has not been abolished. People who have not been set free by Jesus Christ are actually slaves. Slaves to habits. Slaves to attitudes. Slaves to vices. Slaves to behavior. Most smokers, alcoholics, drug addicts, sexual predators, and career criminals claim that they want to quit. I've been around all types of people, but they can't because they are slaves to sin. They are slaves to sin. At one time, I was a slave to sin. I was a captive or hostage. You and I might not have been involved in these deviant behaviors, but we were still slaves to sin. Some of us slaves to hatred, slaves to jealousy, slaves to pride, slaves to lying, slaves to dishonesty, slaves to depression, what the Apostle Paul writes about redemption, he uses the Greek word. Give me a minute because this is a big word. Apolutrosis. Okay, thank you. Thank you, brother. Thank you. Thank you. Which means paying a ransom for the release of a kidnapped hostage. You and I were kidnapped by sin. And Jesus Christ was the ransom. In the Old Testament, the Hebrews had to slay a lamb, an ox, or a goat, offer it blood to ransom them from their sins. You know, animals' sacrifice were like paying interest on a loan, but not paying the principal. They presented the creditor from the foreclosing, but they did not satisfy the debt. Animal sacrifice had to be offered over and over again every year. The blood of sheep, oxen, was not acceptable. Payment to ransom us from our abductor. The currency that Jesus used to pay our kidnappers was the currency of his own innocent blood. He had never sinned. His blood was innocent and virtuous. Only his sinless blood could pay the price. In the Bible, the Hebrews consider blood and life as, there's another one of those big words. A person's blood was his life. 1 Peter 1, 18 and 19. For as much as ye know that ye were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, from your vain conversation receive my tradition from your father. Verse 19. But with the precious blood of Christ as the lamb without blemish and without spot. Exodus 12 and 5. Your lamb shall be without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it out from the sheep or from the goat. John 1 and 29. The next day, John seeth Jesus coming into him and said, behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. By divine law, all men and women are legally property of Jesus Christ. But he loved us so much that he did not just create us. He purchased us. And he did not just purchase us. He gives us right to choose whether or not we will belong to him. Man has a free will. He gives us a choice. The most daring part of God's bold plan for mankind was to give us freedom to choose or reject his lordship over our lives. What an amazing God. What an amazing God. He's our creator. Our purchase with right to claim the demands of our devotion. And yet, he stands quietly aside and asks, will you serve me? It's your choice. History records what mankind did with the freedom of will, beginning with Adam and Eve. The tale of human history is a sorrow saga of rebellion and resistance. We have all gone over the line in breaking the Ten Commandments. You and I have personally disobeyed and displeased God. We have brought hurt. Pain, suffering to ourselves and to others by what we're done or said. We have broken God's heart. We have walked in his grace. We have slapped him in the face by our rebellion, our resistance, and our sin. Let's talk about God's judgment and mercy. Because God is perfect, holy and righteous. God could not break his own law to excuse us. We may have been his own children, but he could not illegally pardon us and release us from the punishment we deserve. Calvary exposed the inner heart of God. Calvary says that God loved us so much that he paid the ultimate price to save us. We have abundant life. John 10:10, the thief cometh not but to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they may have it more abundantly. Discovering the real wonder of Calvary, seeing the riches of his grace, has a profound and dramatic effect upon our everyday life. All true Christians have eternal life, but not all of them experience the abundant life. Determine in your heart right now that you will be one of those who truly discover the riches of his grace in your life. Right here, right now. We have power for our purpose. Ephesians 1 and 12. That we should be to the praise of his glory, who first trusted in Christ. 2 Thessalonians 2 and 13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you for salvation through sanctification of spirit and belief of the truth. We who have been ransomed and released have been given the power not just to praise him, but to be praised unto him. This means that by discovering the wonders of Calvary and by discovering the riches of his grace, thank you, Jesus, we can live our lives in a way that everything we and everything we do express praise to God. Calvary shows us the real secret of riches of his grace. There are riches beyond our imagination. Jesus Christ tonight, riches to live a righteous life, riches to conquer our problems, riches to praise unto God. You know, before I came to God, I didn't even know the word grace. Grace was not in my vocabulary. You know what was in my vocabulary? Drugs, alcohol. I know you all heard of the Three Musketeers. Well, I was the black marketeer. If a person comprehends that good health is a gift, they will not drink or use drugs. Now listen to this. I got the Holy Ghost in 1981, and I've never been the same since. Praise God, praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. It was God's grace that found us and forgave us. It was God's grace that filled us with the Holy Ghost. His grace helps us in the hard times of our lives. He gives us grace to cry out for him when we are in need. Grace to praise him when we count our blessings. Grace when we are sick. Grace when we need wisdom. Grace when we need love for others. Grace to see us through trials. I'm going to take a break right now. Just hang tight. Hang with me. I got my horse out there somewhere. Praise God. But I want to tell you a story. I want to tell you a story here tonight. You know, people who love old Westerns, anybody like old Westerns? Oh, man, oh, praise God. Look at the people. Woo. Yeah. You know, I like the Lone Ranger and John Wayne and Gary Cooper. I like him, too. And all those guys, you know. And I could sit there and, boy, and just look at those things, I tell you. Okay, let me just go on here. Okay. People who love old Westerns remember the old movie with Gary Cooper called The Hanging Tree. Gary Cooper is a doctor, and he saves people's lives. Gary Cooper is a doctor, and he saves people's lives. In one scene, a young man gets shot. He's dying. Gary is able to save him. The young man gratefully for having been rescued. Asks what he can do for the doctor. Gary Cooper says, well, you know, I've always needed an assistant. So why don't you assist me? I'll teach you what to do. When the young man asked how long the doctor wanted his help, Gary Cooper replied, for the rest of your life, because that's how long you would have been dead if I hadn't saved you. Praise God, praise God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Praise God, praise God. Thank you, Lord. You know, and I read in 2 and 10, for we are his workmanship, created in Jesus Christ unto God's good work. When God has before ordained that we should walk in them, God has said to you and me that this is what he wants for the rest of the life on earth. Since he saves you, he wants you to yield yourself to his purpose, to his pleasure, and to his goals. Praise God. Brother, go ahead and do that number over there. What are you? Praise God. Got my horse waiting on me. Shoot, you know, I got to giddy up, you know. I hope nobody ain't cut that thing off so I don't get on there and fall off. Praise God. Okay. Now I'm going to tell you, if you're a guest here tonight, grace will always be there when you need it. It's going to be there. Praise God, praise God. Yes. You know, Matthew 10 and 39, he that findeth his life shall lose it. And he that loses his life for my sake shall find it. This is where true fulfillment comes. And satisfaction are found in the surrendering our will to God's will. In losing our life in his. What will you respond to the grace and purpose of God for our lives? How will you respond when Jesus calls you out? Will you allow God's grace, great grace, to do something great inside of your life? Discover what grace can do. Hebrews 4 and 16. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So if you're here tonight, come to the altar. If you need help, you know, I read all those things about what grace can do. But I believe God wants to do something here tonight. He wants to touch someone here tonight. You know, I told him at prayer night This is not a playground. This is a battleground. And we are ready to battle sickness and anything that you're going through. We're ready to battle against it. So church, stand, come, and let's pray here tonight. God, we look to you right now, Lord. God, the ones standing up here right now, Lord God. Yes, Lord God, we need you right now, Lord God. You know the need of your people. You know the need of your people here tonight, Lord. But God, we're asking you to touch in a mighty way, Lord. Move on their lives here today, Lord God, whatever they're going through, Lord. But God, we believe it on you right now, Lord God. We put it all in your hands. We put it all in your hands, Lord God. Yes, Lord. Touch in a mighty way, Lord. Praise your holy name. Praise your holy name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise your holy name. God, we believe it on you, Lord. Yes. Yes.